Good morning, everyone. Just a couple brief announcements this morning, mostly with the 150th anniversary of the congregation coming up in the next year. And, you know, we're looking for, as the new bulletin announcement says, oh, if you, you know, write down memories, maybe write a paragraph or two, maybe you have old confirmation pictures, you can scan and make a copy and bring it in into the church, if you can find your old confirmation picture. But those would be nice to have, just, you know, historical memories and things of the congregation. So if you have any of those and you have them at home and would like to bring copies of them in, it'd be greatly appreciated as we look forward to and prepare for the church's, the congregation's 150th anniversary. And still, also the LWML Mite Box Month. As you notice when you come in, the mite box is still up. If anybody would like to contribute to that, it'd certainly be most welcome. I think that's really it. Please check your Zion's Light for any other announcements for the week and this morning. We begin with the singing of our opening hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the October 18th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen, Casey Jones, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, hymn number 940 found in the Lutheran service book. Brian and Pam Featon are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Brian's father, Robert Featon. The Alberta Hellman and Don and Donna Hellman families are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of Harold, Margaret, Melvin, Lloyd, and Norman Hellman.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, the poor
and miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray to you of God for His mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day.
Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. To God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 47th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the seventh petition?
But deliver us from evil.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
The epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten Son of Man, being the one substitute of God, by whom all things were made, in the last man, and for our salvation, in that man, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and is a man,
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures,
and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 850, God of Grace and God of Glory. Hymn number 850 found in the Lutheran service book.
Thank you.
The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Therefore, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, the lectionary, our cycle of readings, mirrors for us today the wild ride that Jesus was on as he steadily progresses his way this towards the cross, to the vicarious satisfaction, to paying the price for our sins unto with our Heavenly Father and unto his resurrection. After his teaching on the kingdom of God, which we heard last week, his enemies come to him and they try and trap him in a question about sacred authority versus secular authority. Which one are we to obey? Which one is to trump the other one, so to speak? And what they see as divided, Jesus tells us that no, they are not divided, they are inextricably intertwined together. Well, first, let's notice how this plays out for us in the propers of our day to day, how this all kind of connects together and flows together. The opening hymn sets out our parameters. What are we doing as the people of God in Christ Jesus? We are praising the name of God above, God the three in one and no other God. From Adam until now and all the way into the future, from the prophets and the apostles and the martyrs to ourselves and those to follow after ourselves through the rise and the fall of nations, the church continues on. And will continue to go on until our Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. The church has a mission. The church seeks to proclaim the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, that is, on the behalf of humanity, and the church also seeks to serve the neighbor, our neighbor. In the light of this, we confess our sins. What sins are we confessing today? Well, going along with the text, sometimes we tend to confuse the sacred and the secular. Sometimes we get them mixed up. Sometimes we forget that we cannot set up a heaven on earth. That is never going to happen. And we also confess our sins of not wanting anything to do with those rascals who do not think in the same way that we think. Having confessed that, we are absolved in our turn, and we resolve again to love God and to serve our neighbor. This is what we are doing. And in the light of this, the psalm exhorts us to tell of God's salvation to all nations. The collect reminds us that God is sovereign over all things and that this world is transitory. Therefore, we ask that we may serve him in such a way in this life so as not to lose the next life. The Old Testament reminds us that our God is the God of nations, that he causes nations to rise and fall to his own ends and to his own purposes, controlling the fortunes of even those who do not acknowledge him, so that all may recognize and glorify him. The epistle speaks to us of the realm of the church, where God has chosen us to eternal life, given us the task of waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and delivering us from the wrath that is poured out on all who reject their Savior. The gospel binds the two of these things together. The church and state are linked together in the fabric of human life, each one having their own God-given spheres of labor. And this is what we have going on before us today. In the hymn of the day, the hymn we just completed, we pray for strength, for we know that there will be pushback against the work of the church. Realizing that sin leads humanity to hatred and warfare, we also ask God to curb his people's warring madness. We also ask for stout hearts, that we fall not into apathy among the evils of the world, but rather that God would give us courage to face the hour that we find ourselves in and the time that we are born into. And then when we come to our closing hymn of the day, the final hymn, we ask that we recognize that God is our help in ages past, our help now, our hope in times to come. God is our guard here in time, and he is our home in eternity. So what do we find? We find that as Christians, we live in two separate and distinct and yet intertwined kingdoms, complementary kingdoms existing now and at exactly the same time. You are a citizen of both of these realms. You must function both spiritually and you must function in the world. You must function in the kingdom of law and in the kingdom of God's gospel. What does that mean? We are obligated to give what is due to both realms. We are to pay our taxes. And following the fourth commandment, we are to fear, love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And we are to do this whether or not the government makes it easy for us. In the same way, those who are elected to serve the people must remember that they have an obligation and a duty to look to God, and remember that they too are answerable to Almighty God for their behaviors and their actions. At the same exact time, we are to render unto God the things that are God's. That is all the first commandment sphere of life, or the first table of the law. We are to give him contrition, faith, love, obedience, submission to his guidance and his chastisement. And so what do we find here? We do not have an either or when it comes to the church and the state, but we have a both and. They work together, both and, at the same time. In our reading, Jesus recognizes that the state is ordained by God and has mostly as its sphere of operation the restraining of evil. That's what the state exists for, to hold evil at bay. The church, on the other hand, proclaims salvation. The church does not exist to govern, and the government has no authority to infringe on the proclamation and the preaching of the church. Therefore, our obligations to our God encompass the whole of our lives, and the state, we find, is a piece of that whole, but not the entire whole. The Christian, then, when approaching things of the state, will approach them with a conscience guided by God, guided and governed by God. And in our relationship to the state, we'll realize that when either the church or the state seeks to control the other one, the only thing that comes from that is havoc. We need both of these things in their proper spheres, doing their proper God-ordained work. So we are faced with not an either-or, but a both-and, both as necessary in this world. Now, God is clearly sovereign over all spheres of life, the sparrow hitting the ground, the hairs of your head are numbered, God names the stars, God governs the rise and the fall of nations, even nations that do not acknowledge his existence are bound under God's moral laws. The moral law, what does it do? It restrains sin. Remember, curb, mirror, and rule. This is what the law does. This is what God's moral law does. And if the human inclination to sin were ever fully released, we'd tear ourselves all apart in a moment. It would tear the very fabric of every relationship apart. Sin would just destroy any idea of cooperation that we would have amongst ourselves. And if there were no laws and no governments, there would be no ability among human beings to have a society or a culture or anything like that. It wouldn't exist because sin would ravage and tear it all apart. Therefore, we see that anarchy is completely antithetical to Christianity, for anarchy is orderless, and our God is a God of order. So God's law is evident in the laws of each and every nation. God has another kingdom, and this kingdom is a kingdom of salvation and of grace. And in this kingdom, he relates to us in a different way. In this kingdom, he saves us. He gathers us together in the walls of his church, guiding us by his Holy Spirit. He rules his earthly kingdom by power. He rules his spiritual kingdom by love. God's earthly kingdom is under law. His spiritual kingdom is under gospel. We are citizens of both kingdoms at the same time. Therefore, what does that mean for us regarding politics? Well, as far as that goes, generally, as Christians, we are realists. We learn to live in the tension between the two kingdoms. No system of laws is going to be perfect, and we should be rightly skeptical of anyone who promises us a utopia, that they could fix every single problem that we have. All government systems, then, should be open to moral criticism, based on the overarching moral law of God. And I was thinking about this, well, you've probably heard that saying, you can't legislate morality, right? Well, every law is an attempt to legislate morality. If it's not morality of the heart, then at least it is morality of our actions. Don't steal. Don't speed. Wear a seatbelt. Leave other people's stuff alone. Don't punch other people in the head. These kinds of things that are the laws that we have. Don't do these things. Now, we can't create a heaven on earth, but we must still uphold and apply God's moral demands. All the church has to do to work with this is God's word and sacraments. That's all we have. We are not allowed to take up arms. We are not allowed to raise armies. We have the word of God, and we have God's sacrament. We abstain from earthly weapons or even coercion. We go forward in the invisible power of the preached word. For faith is a gift of God and the work of the Holy Spirit operating through the means of grace. Faith cannot be imposed on anyone. The earthly kingdom, on the other hand, exists to carry out the law. The spiritual kingdom exists to carry out forgiveness. This is what the two kingdoms do and how they work, each in their own sphere. Both kingdoms exist now and at the exact same time. And every Christian is a citizen of both kingdoms, the sacred and the secular. And we must function both spiritually and in the world. This is the tension that the Christian lives in as sin and Satan tries to wreck both kingdoms. So what do we know? Ultimately, God is sovereign over both kingdoms. God reigns in both the sacred realm and God reigns in the secular realm. Therefore, what are we to do? We use our minds, we use our conscience, and we render unto God the things that are God's, and we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds, through the one true faith, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us all now rise for the singing of the offertory. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dear Lord, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Grant that we may choose trustworthy leaders, contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare, and serve you faithfully in our generation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Father, we ask you to heal the sick, give relief to the suffering, patience to the infirm. Hear us as we pray for Dennis Ramlow as he anticipates neck surgery this week. Grant Dennis relief from his ailments through the skill of his surgical team. We pray also for Carl Awe during his hospitalization, asking you boldly for relief and strength to his earthly frame. Cover with your care those we now name in our hearts and in our minds who are suffering the ills of this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, as harvest continues apace, we pray again for those men and women working in the fields and around heavy machinery, asking, O Lord, that you would keep them safe and keep them well. Lord, as they grow more and more tired in their labors, make them ever more aware of the dangers around them, keeping them safe from chains and belts and gears and all those things that would harm them. We thank you for the harvest that is going on, the food that will be set upon our tables, and all the things that come from the fruits of the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear God, as we approach this day, the sacrament of the altar, give unto us true repentance, faith to receive your gifts, the desires and strength to renew our prayer and devotional lives, so that we may live to the glory of your holy name. All this we do ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
sharing in the morning worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 733, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, number 733 in the Lutheran Service Book.
May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Sure, we've been quietly sequestered for 5-7 months, just checking in on our members, how you doing. So if you can give a hand in calling, please see Patty.